Welcome to One Big Church Radio, the podcast for church leaders everywhere. You are now part of a group of underground pastors and thought leaders passionately trying to change the world one person at a time. But because we don't rely on unlimited budgets, we have to think differently. We have to create new ideas together, and we do this by joining together as one to help you be found online and funded. This podcast will give you a glimpse into the daily life of pastors going through the exact same things you face every day. Hey everybody, Barclay here again for One Big Church. Hey, being a good listener is not just important when people are engaging with you, but also when they aren't. In fact, it can make or break a church. Hear how Pastor David McKinley figured that out real quick and the bold approach that he took to change it. Take a listen.
Frankly, no one is starting churches today that are traditional churches. No one plants a church with a choir and an orchestra and an organ in particular. Almost every church that starts today is, quote, contemporary. So now the shift that I see going on is not just what is contemporary, but really what is the culture of worship in a church, and how does your church serve in such a way that you engage people in a meaningful connection with who God is as He's revealed in His Word and with what you're seeking to do through the life and ministry of your church. What we really believe is that millennials are not so much looking for a style or an experience. They really are looking for people who genuinely care about them and who want to invest in them and who want to invite them to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And so while I know the millennials take the rap of being self-centered and the me's and all that, the real truth is that they're just looking for a way to really have meaningful life experience and to be significant.
So listening to your congregation is obviously really important. Tell me about the capital campaign that you started, and then that moment you realized that really your approach for fundraising was something you realized really was not clicking at all with your members.
I mean, suddenly this project became so much larger, and I frankly got frightened. I mean, we were going to rent a facility, and we were going to renovate it at an amount of money that I started thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know if we can do this. So I decided to do the wise thing and to be, you know, a good steward as well as to exercise faith, and that was to ask people to sign pledge cards and to do that. Well, I mean, we dove into this whole effort to, you know, I had meetings. I did all the stuff I've seen and been a part of in other churches where we had meetings and told them what we needed to do and handed out cards and asked people to prepare. And I'm telling you, the first Sunday that we received the pledge cards, we probably received 10% of what the total need was.
Wow.
And I was like train wrecked thinking, wow. Okay, either my ministry's over here or people really aren't. But you know, I just started praying through that, and I kept thinking, you know, nobody has expressed opposition to this. Mm-hmm. Nobody has pushed back on this. Mm-hmm. And I finally just had to come to terms with the fact that my people here don't like to sign cards.
Yeah.
They were willing to take on a challenge, but they didn't want to sign a card.
So it was literally
and
just
so literally,
the approach.
I walked in the next Sunday and I tore up all the cards that we had received. I said, I'm going to trust that if you turn in a card, you're committed to do this. So I'm tearing these up. I'm taking the fleece off of the rest of you and doing it. And over the last 3 years since we've done that, our giving has gone through the roof of people just, you know,
unbelievable,
making things happen. Yeah.
That's an interesting, you know, people can say they're going to do it all they want, but.
Well, to me, it just seemed wise. Let's plan the future.
Sure.
And I'm asking you to make a sacrificial commitment to your, for the next, you know, 2 years. And that's what I asked for, a 2-year commitment.
Sure.
And I knew a lot of churches that had been very effective with doing this. But I'm telling you, we fell on our faces, even after time, effort, energy, videos, preaching, series, you know, the whole thing. And it was just like, okay, what does this mean? You know, and yet, instead of being a breakdown, we just had to come to the terms with the fact that God had a different plan for us. Mm-hmm. And we believe the vision was right. We believe the church was united, not divided. But what I had to realize was that my believed methodology, my perceived methodology, was not what the church would adopt.
But so, I mean, strong for you as a leader to understand that it's not your way. You've got to go with where the congregation is and what they want. And so,
yeah, that was very hard. It was very hard to walk. But the thing was, I knew I couldn't walk back in.
Yeah.
And say to the church the next Sunday, well, some of us have given, now we got to have, I knew there was no full throttle forward on this. it was so evident to me that it was, you know, that it was a bust.
Yeah.
That if I told people what it was, people were going to go, you know. So I thought, don't be bullheaded about this. Just admit, you know. And I did. I did this whole thing where I walked in and said, I think I've learned something about you, and that is you don't want to sign cards. And if you don't, then that's okay. We won't sign cards. But I do believe God would have us do this, and we're going to do it.
Still hungry for more? Head to onebigchurch.com to create a free profile and gain access to resources shared by top leaders from all across the country. Or you can go to our Facebook page at One Big Church.